always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Schemann and Schemann on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
I'm Craig Schemann with Pete Shepard. It's Schemann and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with El Hombre Michael Bradley from Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Not too much love in the Philadelphia Eagles locker room at the end of the season. So we'll get to the bottom of that story a little bit. Plus, he is a Michigan man. Well, some interesting thoughts on Jim Harbaugh, as he always does. And I'm watching 76er highlights right now. They're 6-1. Do they want James Harden? That's the big topic. I personally would stay away, but that's really not the path I want to go on. Our phone number is 239-337-ESPN. 239-337-3776 is the number.
I got a good clip from Tom Brady from a few minutes ago via Jenna Lane when asked about Chase Young, if you want to hear
that. Okay, because Chase Young, he called out Tom Brady. He says, I want TB.
Yeah, that's...
All right, let's see what he said.
Well, give me a second here.
Oh, sorry. Gave me the stall.
He actually said, I want Tom.
Is that what he said?
He said, I want Tom.
No, he said, I want Ty. I heard the video. I heard him coming off the field. He said, I want Tom Brady.
Oh, he said Brady?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had respect. Yeah. He said the last name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the and by the way, Bart Scott and Alan Hunt, I think they're doing a terrific job. And
I want to run through a brick wall with their intro.
It is fantastic.
It's phenomenal, man.
We are getting
fantastic stuff.
Positive reviews for the new lead-in show for us at ESPN. That's been a while.
But they talked about, you know, and Bart Scott, who was on that Steeler team, he talked about Mitchell, the cornerback, who said something about Brady. I think it was 2003. Mm. And he's like, Brady threw that 40-yard bomb to, or that 40-yard touchdown pass to Deion Branch. And Brady ran right down to the field and got in his face. So I got it ready. Here's Tom Brady talking about Chase Young's comments. He was asked about it.
You know, he's obviously a great young player. So, you know, we got our hands full with that D-line, one of the best D-lines in the league. So, Chase is a great young player. He went to Ohio State, so naturally I think the Ohio State-Michigan thing wears off on him a little bit. I understand that. But we're prepared for, you know, a tough challenge. And should be a fun game.
There's a lot of in between the lines there.
And if you see, you'll see it on video, I'm sure. If you see the look on his face, it's kind of like...
A little smirk?
A little smirky?
A little smirky.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little smirky. Been there, done that type of thing, and... That's fine.
Yeah.
Right. Chase Young's a great player. He's already a great player. I don't think he's a good player. I think he's a great player.
He's a great player.
I don't say that, and I don't like you using that term.
I said yesterday he's already top five defensive lineman in the league, and I may have undersold him a little bit. I mean, I don't want to say the best. I mean, you still got your Aaron Donalds and all those other guys, the Boses, J.J. Watt when he's up there. And just as athletic, and if he gets a loose ball, he's running. He's not just jumping on it. So he's fun to watch. So we'll see. We'll have that game on 99.3 ESPN on Saturday night. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it is. And it's going to be interesting to see how Bruce Arians attacks. And I think you're going to see them run the and how you stop guys like that and guys like J.J. Watt in the past. You run right at them. That's what you do. You run at them. You don't let them have a chance to get in on you. Despite all the, we've already heard it this week. I've heard it already so many times, the way to pressure, not just Brady, any quarterback, again, getting pressure up the middle. If you can believe that. Imagine getting pressure up the middle.
With four.
With four.
While only bringing four. You can't blitz
because
then there's openings in the back end.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but they have a good front seven. You know, Chase Young, Bostic, Holcomb, they're good. They're a very good football team. We talked about this at the beginning of the season. I said, don't be shocked. I might have even said, don't be shocked that the Washington Redskins are going to make a run at the NFC East because their front seven was so talented. Now, I didn't know that.
You didn't asterisk the 6-10.
I didn't asterisk the 6-10, nor did I asterisk Alex Smith coming back into. If you had told me at the beginning of the season Alex Smith was going to start a playoff game.
Yeah.
You would have taken me away in a straitjacket.
Say, TB's got to have respect for that. Tom will probably actually shake the opposing quarterback's hand after this game. He got respect for Alex Smith, what he did.
Yeah,
did.
And again, I don't care. I'm sure he will.
Yeah. All right. We'll have we'll continue talking to NFL football. We got Michael Bradley at the bottom of the hour. The Buccaneers getting ready to take on the Washington football team. In fact, I don't want to say a complicated playoff scenario, but we've got I lost my list from yesterday. So here's the deal. We're going to have the games here on 99.3 ESPN. Five of the six playoff games this weekend will be all three on Sunday.
Yep.
We'll bookend the early and the late game, which is the Buccaneers here Saturday night.
Rams Seahawks.
We're going to kick that over to our sister station, 770 AM, because we're going to carry the whole Buccaneer pregame show. We have to, and mm-hmm. we want to. And so we got to start that a little earlier before that Seahawks game is going to end. So that's why we're doing that.
Yep.
So we got you covered, though.
And the only way Tampa Bay gets a home game is if they face the sixth seed in the NFC Championship game. That's the problem.
Or the seven.
Oh, that's right. There was a seven. That's
they
right.
Play, we could have that's a right. Bucks-Bears NFC right. title game in Tampa. Yeah.
We, yeah. Could.
Yeah.
We could.
We could. We could. That's all it is. We could.
Tom Brady versus good. Mitchell Trubisky. Sign me up.
I said the Bears with Nick Foles beat the Saints earlier this year. I know, 27-24.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen again.
No.
Probably not. All I'm saying is they played them tough, and they could have won that game.
And I've been bullish on the Bears all season.
Yes, you have. Don't fade on them now.
No, I'm going to fade on them now.
You can't.
Yes, you can.
You got to stick with your team.
They're not my team.
They were your
you're
team.
You're going to be a face painter.
They're my regular season team.
Bears gear and a big C around your face.
Yeah. Big Matt Nagy fan. Are glad you? To see him get another year.
Yeah. Time now for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Bears fan, Chris.
The SportsCenter update is brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
All right, Cleveland Browns coach Kevin Stefanski says his team is full speed ahead after their latest round of COVID-19 testing produced zero positive tests. Some good news out of Cleveland. How about that?
How about that?
Dolphins offensive coordinator Chan Gailey has stepped down from his position 2 days after it was falsely reported that he was fired. Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence announced on Twitter he is entering the NFL draft. And tonight on 99.3 ESPN, a little hockey. Florida Everblades hosting the Orlando Solar Bears. We start coverage at 7:15.
By the way, they're letting fans in. If you want to go to an Everblades game, you can.
Like a significant amount of fans they're letting in.
Yep.
Yeah.
What are we talking? Forget the number that they threw out at us.
It's like seven. What's seven, that? First of all,
I thought it was 5,500.
Yeah. 5,500, yeah.
What does Hertz
there.
Arena hold? Like nine?
Yeah.
In a hockey setup?
In a hockey setting.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Not nine in a hockey setting. It's probably like 75 in a hockey setting.
75.
But they're above 50% there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. So I'm just telling you, I mean, if you want to get out and do something and go to a sporting event, you can. And you go to, and by the way, I've been to numerous Everblades games. If you've never been, it's a fun event for the family.
It is.
And I highly recommend it. I just went to my first post-COVID sporting event on Saturday when I watched Indiana and Ole Miss up at Tampa. And it was good to be back.
Concessions open and everything? And
yes.
Yeah.
No line at the concession because there were only 11,000 people there.
Fantastic.
Spring training down here starts at the end of February. It's early this year.
I can't wrap my head around that yet. That's happening.
And I've been getting hit up, buy your season tickets. So I don't know what's going to be the case at JetBlue or CenturyLink, but they're going to have some sort of fan base there.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. You get a COVID test or a vaccine, and you get a ticket to the game.
How about that? A little vaccine. And
can we give away vaccines on the air? Will that be a thing?
Not yet. I think they're still sort
call
of.
Number nine.
They're still sort of in high demand.
That's for our fall promotion, okay? Yeah. We're going to be calling number nine, get your free vax.
Bucks tickets and a
well,
vaccine.
They're doing it in, you know, you heard the governor yesterday talk about it in Publix and some of the counties up north of here. And I have a feeling that's going to be the case.
I've had grandparents, both on my side and my wife's side, that have signed up and gotten the
good for them.
The initial round. I guess that it's a two-phase deal.
Yeah.
How's phase two?
You have to wait a month after you get it.
I that's going to be a cluster. So everybody's waiting overnight in line to get them or making their appointments or however it is. Okay, come back in a month for the second one. There's still going to be people clamoring to get in line for the first one. How's that going to work?
Yes, Craig, it is going to be a cluster.
Oh, okay, good. Everything's a cluster in this country.
We're a sports show.
Oh, I'm not even. I'm not doing that. No. In fact, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lean that way. I'm sorry.
We do know what is going on, and we're not going to get into it.
We are an escape.
Not even interested.
So
I mean, you know.
But yeah.
Escape.
So
is
so
it
back
ESC
to,
or ECS?
Escape.
Mind. It's not important.
Escape.
No.
Escape.
Escape.
Escape. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a Sheeman and Shepherd cash grab keyword one day.
Probably will be. I got a lot of words on this list. How long is this for? 5 weeks? 4 weeks?
4 or 5. I don't know. Yeah, 4 weeks, I think this goes around.
It starts Friday. $500 six times a day. That's $3,000, right? Yeah, $3,000 a day.
Good math.
Thanks.
Checks out.
I had to slow down and double check on that. Yeah, you know, you know the drill. You hear the word. There's a word. You text it in. Get our app.
You know what? Push the app, Craig. We push the app because you enter on the app. At the end of this whole shindig, we're giving away $10,000.
Yeah.
Only to the people who have entered on the app. So get the app.
Sheeman and Shepherd not eligible, but listeners are.
Speaking of a good time, Gronk always has a good time. And this is the story I was telling you about last hour, in case you missed it, about his experience with Tom Brady at the Kentucky Derby.
My favorite memory? Oh, mm-hmm. I would just say going to a Kentucky Derby and seeing him take a shot and, like, just seeing his face after, like, in disgust, like I'm putting this alcohol in my body, and he, you know, takes a shot and he's just like, how am I going to throw next week?
See Gronk's face just, you know,
times.
Making fun of him.
It's probably how I would react. Me and Tom Brady are probably similar in our reaction if we threw down a fireball. Probably. Mad Duck in Naples. He said, stab me in the heart. No Seahawks game. I'm the only Seahawks fan in Florida. No, we'll have it.
You are not Mad Duck. We also have a displaced Seahawks fan who texts into the show pretty regularly.
I have four Seahawk friends of mine that live at BN with me.
I know one personally.
Yep.
It will be on our sister station, 770 AM. Now, granted, it's not the 50,000-watt torch that our FM signal is here.
But the AM goes far.
But the AM travels. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to the Seahawks on Saturday, just not on this station. All right? I know people hear partially and then half listen. You're good to go. You're good to go. All right. Let's see. What else? I thought there was some other NFL news I wanted to get. I have to pretty much cover that.
I think the biggest story, two big stories of the day for me. One is the Philadelphia Eagles still. I think that's the most, depending on who you talk to, and I can't wait to talk to Michael Bradley in a few minutes here. You know, Carson Wentz, they're going to trade him. They're not going to trade him. Can they trade him? Certainly be a big chunk of change off their salary cap. But I don't know who to believe. Can the reputation or can the relationship between, you know, him and Peterson be fixed? At all.
I'm a little sick of that.
I am too, but
you guys are getting paid an awful lot of money. Go do your damn job. I don't care if you're best friends outside of the workplace, but you have a job to do.
Then I blame Carson Wentz.
You are getting paid an awful lot of money. You do not run the franchise. You have $130 million. You show up to work and you do your damn job. I don't care if you like your coworkers.
But he's not the first quarterback to get benched, and you rarely hear a quarterback rip a coach after getting benched. You just take your medicine. Go back to practice and try and get your job back.
And what happened? I mean, right now, it certainly seems that Jalen Hurts, this is his team. Now whether and maybe that happens. Maybe Howie Roseman and Peterson, they say, hey, look, you guys are going to compete for the starting job next year, and let's see what happens. May the best man win. However, I feel like that's not going to be the case. I feel like because if they do keep Carson Wentz, they're going to feel obligated to play him because of that contract. And that stinks.
All right. Now, publicly, do you say whether it be now or whether it be when we go to camp, it's an open competition. And then, you know, deep down inside, they probably got to play Carson Wentz because they're paying him. As opposed to what the Dolphins just did, day one of the offseason, Tua's our guy. No more questions, please.
Yes.
What's the right way to handle it?
Well, again, it all depends on, you know, what this ridiculous, possibly irreparable relationship between Peterson and Wentz. I agree with you, Chris, but I can't see how both are going to coexist next year. I don't see it.
Yeah.
I just don't see it, and I still don't know how Howie Roseman is going to, who gave that order to put in the, you know, to make the quarterback change in the third quarter, down by three, how you have to explain to those players exactly what you were thinking. Because it certainly seems like maybe a couple knew, but certainly the majority of that team did not know what was going on.
Here's Philly Kevin. Carson Wentz, typical millennial. Feelings are hurt, and somehow his $100 million doesn't make him feel good. Get over it. Let's go.
Well, if he was in the transfer, if they could transfer portal, he would transfer portal.
Maybe the heady play is to trade Jalen Hurts. You showed him off a little bit this year. He certainly has a place in the NFL.
Pull a Billy Bean.
Get him out of there. Get him out of the locker room.
He wants Scott Hatterberg playing first. You trade all-star Carlos Pena?
Yeah.
Perhaps?
You're not playing Carlos at first tonight.
Massachusetts kid, by the way. Yeah. No, you're not. He's traded to the Tigers. Where he had a great career.
Oh, a phenomenal career. He was having a good career for the A's. Yeah. Great scene in that movie, by the way.
Oh, really? Fantastic scene.
Yeah. You don't remember that scene?
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, my God. The delivery is perfect from Brad Pitt.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Got to watch that movie.
Was it Pitt?
Don't talk to me about what movies I gotta watch.
It was Billy Bean played by Brad Pitt.
No, I know that, but I'm saying, but the Carlos Pena, that was what's his name?
Jonah Hill told him he was traded. When Billy Bean,
he goes to
Art Modell and said, or not Art Modell,
Art Howe.
And says.
From Seymour Hoffman,
you're not playing him at first.
Yeah.
Billy, like, I'm not doing this again.
Billy,
I'm just letting you know.
I got the card, you know. Well, you traded.
I cannot believe you haven't seen that movie.
I can't believe you haven't seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, so we're even.
A completely different class of movie.
Well, which one's better, Pete Shepard?
Oh, they're different.
They're different. I like them both very much. I think you will, too.
You like chicken lo mein. They're both delightful. Yeah. It's just, what are you in the mood for?
If you're not a baseball fan, it's, you know.
Is it tedious if you're not a baseball fan?
No, I don't think so. No, I think you'll find it very, very fascinating, especially the relationship. And then at the end, when him visiting Fenway Park is just, the last 50 is just unbelievable. The meeting with John Henry and how he offered him $12 million a year. This is before Theo Epstein went there, and how he turned it down because he didn't want to be away from his daughter, basically.
I just don't like how they made the 21-game winning streak or whatever the number was. Like, that was the be-all, end-all. Yeah. Like, oh, it worked. See, they won 21 in a row, which was great, but they still lost.
They lost in the divisional round again.
All right. Well, let's break early because I want to get El Hombre on here. Don't forget, Friday, the Sheeman Shepherd Cash Grab is back, giving you a chance to win $500 six times a day, three of those times during our show from 2 to 6. Keep listening for more details and make sure you have the 99.3 ESPN app so you can enter the keywords when we give them to you. The Sheeman & Shepherd Cash Grab presented by Andujar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. Sheeman & Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Facebook has turned into a platform where anyone can spew nonsense. Sounds like these guys. Like our Facebook page, 99.3 ESPN Radio. This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepherd. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Thanks for tuning in here on a hump day Wednesday, getting closer to the weekend where we've got some playoff football. Six glorious NFL games this weekend, three Saturday, three on Sunday. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk with El Hombre, Michael Bradley from Philadelphia, and get his thoughts on everything that has been transpiring behind the scenes with the Eagles, among other things. So we'll look forward to that. I know, Pete, you've got a quiz for us and hot nuggets for the NFL.
Yeah.
And all the playoff games coming up.
When we talked to El Hombre, I'm interested to know, not obviously his take, but the pulse of the city. who they want Wentz or they want Hurts, or is it split, or are they just tired of Wentz and the baby antics and just want him somehow, the Eagles, to just, you know, make a deal somehow, get him, and he goes.
Well, let's find out. Michael Bradley, El Hombre, is with us right now from the city of brotherly love. Michael, how are you? Happy New Year.
Hello, sir.
Happy New Year to you guys. I'm all right. I will do my best to talk some sports while the traitorous, seditious behavior is going on in Washington.
Yeah, it's
disgusting.
And by the way, for those I just offended with that, and when they're going to tell me that I should stick to sports, I have a history degree, I have a master's degree, and I'm a university professor. So if you don't like the fact that I can tell you what's happening and it's not about sports, tough. Anyway,
I love it.
On that note,
I love it.
What was your reaction when you saw Doug Peterson down by three on Sunday night, pull Jalen Hurts and put in Nate Sudfeld, whether to tank or whether to... I'll ask, what was going on there in your mind?
Well, let's put it this way. It was a ham-handed attempt to tank.
Yeah.
That's not how you tank.
Yeah.
I mean, and here's the thing. He's in Philadelphia where Sam Hinkie raised it to an art form. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to say before the game, Nate Sudfeld has worked hard all year and deserves some time to play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you set it up that he's going to play. Then when you put him in, and then when you put him in and you do it with in the fourth quarter of a game where you're only down 3 points, you've at least got a little bit of air cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this didn't come from Doug Peterson. This came probably from above, or he at least discussed it with Howie Roseman, the general manager. So that's a situation where he just handled it poorly. Now, who's culpable in this? Simply the National Football League. For a variety of reasons. First, putting a game that determined the worst division in sports history's champion on prime time was a dumb move.
Yeah.
They never should have done it. Secondly, please, Joe Judge, spare me the mock outrage, okay? You won 6 games. You deserve to be the champion of any division in the playoffs like I deserve to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Then the people who are saying... It was such a heroic effort, Sal Pal, heroic effort to stage 256 games, and then we have this one at the end disrespecting it when we tanked for Tua last year, when the Giants took Kurt Warner out in, 2004 and played a rookie, Eli Manning, who had a 47 passer rating for the rest of the season, including one game with a 0.0, so that they could continue to be bad and get a better draft choice. This has gone on forever, and the NFL rewards teams that play poorly so that they can get high draft choices. So this was bad form in terms of doing it by Doug Peterson, but let's stop with the outrage. The NFL is a business. The Eagles were trying to improve their draft position. And last year, in order to move up 2 spots in the first round, a team had to give up a third-round pick. So the Eagles moved up 3 spots simply by playing a rotten quarterback.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And, I made the analogy to a white man can't jump. When Woody Harrelson was talking about this, hey, there's an ethics involved to hustling. There's an ethics involved to tanking. You're absolutely right. It's what I brought up a couple of days ago. Start Sudfeld beginning of the game, and absolutely 100% agree with you, Mike. You put that game on at 4:25 with the rest of them, like they did a few years ago, and then probably we're not even talking about it. But my bigger question to you is, talking about the code red, who gave the order? Did you give the order? Meaning did Peterson not know? He had to have known this was going to happen at some point. Right?
What was going to happen?
That he was going to get the order to put Sudfeld in at some point.
Well, yeah, I don't think this was like a pro wrestling thing, right, where the referee's got the earpiece, and then all of a sudden he's told, okay, it's time for Hulk Hogan to win.
Yeah.
So this was a situation where they discussed it before the game. And the fact that Peterson did it was a very good indication that he was not going to be fired. This was done by a coach that felt very confident in his position with the team, and it was done in conjunction with the general manager, who is the one who was going to keep him. And, here's the other thing to remember. Sudfeld, and Jason Kelce tweeted this out today, Sudfeld was told he was going to play. This was a meaningless game for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, it was a very meaningful game for the Reds, Washington NFL franchise and for the Giants. But for the Eagles, it was a meaningless game. So you play people that you want to reward for a season of hard work. So that's That, to me, is okay. Now, playing him in the fourth quarter of a game where you're down three, but remember this. At the time, Jalen Hurts was 7 of 20.
Yeah.
His success in this game had come running the football.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, he should have been just playing in the single wing.
Yeah.
Michael Bradley is with us. All right, so you alluded to the next piece of this puzzle. Doug Peterson, confident that he is going to be back as the head coach. 2 weeks ago, I was not so sure about that. Now we have Carson Wentz, who doesn't want to play there anymore. He's pouting. And how do these – but management has said we're not trading this guy. So how do these two come back together?
Well, look, here's the deal. A, if they cut him, it's a $59 million cap hit, okay? Dead cap money.
Yeah.
The Eagles are between $65 and $75 million over the cap already. Hmm. And usually the NFL cap swells a little bit every year. But this year it's not going to. It's actually going to contract a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're in a horrible crunch in terms of salary. They have to redo a bunch of contracts and get rid of some people in order to stay where they need to be. So cutting Wentz is not an option. Even if you trade him, you're going to take about a $30 million dead cap hit.
Yeah.
And what are you going to get in return for him? You might not even get a second-round pick. He did not play well this year, and he has a ridiculously large contract for someone who did not play well. So the only option is for Doug Peterson and Howie Roseman to talk to his agent, to talk to Carson. Doug needs to go sit in a duck blind with him for a little while, chew a little tobacco, read some scripture, yeah, and say, let's get back together.
Yeah.
Let's make this work. We'll give you every opportunity to come in here and reclaim your job as a starting quarterback. Now, here's what's going to help him. 3/5 of their offensive line is going to return from injury. You had Dillard, who tore his biceps. You had Lane Johnson, who's got a bum ankle, and Barrett Brooks tore his Achilles tendon. So you put them back on the line with Kelce, a 10-year veteran, and you have a pretty good line. One would imagine the team will use the 6th overall pick on Jamar Chase or on our Devontae Smith, the Heisman Trophy winner, and add some receiving firepower to the offense. That's going to make Wentz's job a lot better. Now, he may pout because his buddy Zach Ertz is going to leave, but he'll have a better offensive line, and we hope, if you're for Eagles fans, a better collection of receivers.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael, and I agree with you about what may happen here, unless Wentz wants out so bad he's willing to renegotiate numbers so badly that
that's
it won't hurt.
Happen.
That's not going to happen. I agree. But he's competing with Jalen Hurts. Yes, they're going to say all the right things. Doug Peterson is going to say all the right things. Yes, it's going to be an open competition, blah, 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 blah. But is there going to be pressure from up above, from Howie Roseman and Mr. Lurie, that when push comes to shove, no, you are on Peterson, meaning you're starting Carson Wentz because of that contract?
Well, I mean, he didn't start him. If there was pressure in that regard, why would you risk taking him out and starting this whole thing to begin with? So, I mean, if there were pressure because of the contract, Wentz would have stayed in. I think what the team wanted to see was, meaning the organization, how does Hurts practice as the number one quarterback? How does the team respond to him? How does Wentz handle this? How does Hurts play as a starter? They'd been using him like one or two plays a game as a gadget. Mm. Take a snap and run.
Yeah.
Take a snap and throw a quick pass. How does he handle a game planning process? How does he handle adjustments? Look at his passer rating in the second half versus the first half. Horrible. Because teams realized, okay, here's how we have to spy him. Because if there's no threat of Jalen Hurts running, then he's not right now not a very good NFL passer.
Yeah.
This isn't like Justin Herbert coming in there and tearing it up, setting the rookie record for touchdowns. He did not show that. Mm. So, Wentz should be the quarterback. I don't know what happened with him. The other thing that you have to worry about is, and this was reported a few years ago, that Wentz was not the most popular guy in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
that he had some people who liked him, but some other people who did not. Was this a situation where he lost the locker room? I don't know. A lot of things, we know about 10% of what goes on with all of this.
Yeah.
And even after the fact, we never learn the whole thing. You guys have talked to enough athletes, years after the fact, and they start telling you stories, and you start to say, holy cow, I had no idea all of that was going on.
Yeah.
So Wentz will get it. There's no choice. They have to bring him back.
Is there any ongoing friction, you think, that because Doug Peterson sort of had a fall on the sword for what management wanted to do as far as the Sudfeld situation go, and the players, at least many of them, some on the record saying they had no idea, they were upset. I mean, does he hold, is he angry at Howie Roseman, or is he going to hold, you know, have an attitude about, you know, does he really trust, can he trust this guy anymore? Because he had to take the fall on the sword for what they wanted upstairs.
Doug Peterson has a job after a 4-11-1 season. he shouldn't be upset about anything. And the players who contributed to a 4-11-1 season, if their feelings are hurt because they didn't get a chance to be 5-10-1, then they shouldn't. Then you can say, okay, we know who's going to be on our team.
Yeah,
this team right now, the guys who were playing. I mean, Jason Kelsey came out and said, yeah, was the timing strange? Yes, it was. Miles Sanders was upset. He's a second-year running back who's been injured. Okay, maybe Brandon Graham was upset, but there's not enough. When you look around that roster, there's not enough guys that you can look at it and say, "Boy, these are real bulwarks. These are foundational pieces that we have to keep happy moving forward. Because if we don't, we may be 3-12-1 next year. How much lower do you go after that? So if I'm Doug Peterson and someone comes in and tells me you let me down, I would say, you let a lot of people down.
Yeah, right.
Let's look at the tape.
Yeah. El Hombre, Michael Bradley, is with us. Michael, this is an ongoing conversation, a little sidebar. I always like to talk Michigan with you. You are Michigan alum, and I was originally from Michigan, so I follow this team very closely. Your alumni dollars apparently being packaged into a 3-year extension to Jim Harbaugh, unless, of course, he's letting it sit on his desk in Ann Arbor, see if there's any interest from any NFL teams.
That seems to be what's happening right now, right?
Jets.
You know, if you make an offer for an extension,
yeah,
and the person likes it, he signs it.
Right.
If the person doesn't like it, you continue to negotiate. What we've heard is that there's no continued negotiation. So I think what Harbaugh's doing is saying, is there interest in me for the NFL? There's seven open. Is it seven open
six.
Jobs?
Six, I think. Yeah.
Six. Yeah.
There's six open jobs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is anybody interested in me? I think he wants to go back to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think he likes that because you're the CEO in the NFL. In college, you have to, you know, I know there's some CEO college coaches, but I mean, you know, you look at Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney and Ryan Day, even when Urban Meyer was coaching, those guys weren't sitting back like Bobby Bowden was toward the end of his career. And I'm not saying anything bad about Bobby Bowden. My Lord, what he did at that school is outrageous. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, you don't have to worry about recruiting. You don't have to worry about alumni. You don't have to worry about fundraising. Harbaugh doesn't like a lot of that stuff because that's not his personality. He's not a slapping him on the back kind of gregarious guy. So I think he's waiting to see. Now, I don't think he's going to get hired because, you know, he wasn't as very popular in San Francisco when he left.
Right.
And right now his track record at Michigan, it's not like he's coming in, you know, like Matt Campbell or Lincoln Riley or even Matt Rhule last year. Cliff Kingsbury didn't have a great record, but he was known as a tremendous builder of quarterbacks. And they had just drafted a quarterback, Kyler Murray, who fit into his system. I think Harbaugh will be back at Michigan next year because he's not going to have another choice.
Yeah. Interesting. Final question for me about just getting back to the Eagles real quick. What's the pulse of the always rational Eagles fans? Are they Wentz people? Are they Hurts people? Are they Sudfeld? I mean, Peterson people? What's the pulse?
Sudfeld person. I don't even know if Mr. and Mrs. Sudfeld are. No offense, Nate, but please.
No, absolutely.
They're Nick Foles people.
Yeah.
Guess what? You know what? If you put a poll out there for Eagles fans, and it was, who would you rather see, Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts, Nick Foles, 25%, I'd say at the minimum, would say Foles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fans are... Here's the thing. The fans are upset. Season didn't go the way they thought it would. Wentz played poorly. Hurts played better, but still not that well. It's not like he was out there winning games. He came in against Green Bay, and everyone, oh, look at this. He's leading the back. They still lost. He threw some really bad passes against Washington. He did not look great as the quarterback. And here's the thing. They were in a position where if they closed out with win against Dallas, you know, against the Giants, Dallas, and Washington, they win the division.
Yeah.
And they didn't do it. So right now I think that the Eagles fans are sort of saying, we don't know what is right. They wish that Wentz looked good and played well, so that they could just say, all right, let's worry about wide receiver, cornerback, linebacker, and, you know, the other gigantic problems on the roster.
Well, next time we have you on, when we have more time, I want to dive into the Sixers, Daryl Morey, and whether they trade for James Harden. Off to a 6-1 start. Everybody says, we don't need James Harden. Maybe they don't. Well, we'll get a quick capsule. Your thought on the start to the Sixers season and all the changes they made with coach and the GM.
Doc Rivers was a great hire, and I'm not saying Brett Brown was a bad coach. Doc Rivers is a proven coach. He's a championship coach. Morey is a very good general manager, and what he was able to do immediately was get rid of some horrific contracts, specifically Al Horford, and get some more shooting. So, and their drafting of Tyrese Maxey was a very good move, so it looks good. The narrative with him was he shot 28.7% from three-point line in college. Now, all of a sudden, he's hitting three-pointers for the Sixers. Yeah. He's scoring off of the bench and giving them a very, you know, what's helped part of a very good second unit. The whole thing comes down to two things. The health and welfare of Simmons and Embiid, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Embiid looks like he's in condition and he's playing well. Can he and Simmons stay healthy? And two, can they coexist?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the biggest question. If the two of them want to play together throughout the whole year and share the glory, rather than having the lion's share for them individually, then they'll be okay and they'll be a very good team. Because I look around the East, Brooklyn's going to be a disaster. If any NBA fan should be rooting for Brooklyn to get James Harden, because putting him with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant will cause – it'll make the Kardashians look like the Smiths from Topeka. It'll be unbelievable.
Michael, we are so on the same page as far as from even just from a sports talk radio perspective. I am so praying for that. And there's still, and I know we'll get off tip, but like DeAndre Jordan is starting for that. Why? I mean, for the net. I don't get it with some of the things they're doing.
But it would be fun. Yeah. If you're a Sixers fan, you don't want Harden because he needs the ball. He plays no defense, and he is not going to be he's not somebody who wants to win. Look, give him credit. $40 million contract, his own shoe. It makes beards cool again, blah, blah, blah. But he's not going to get a championship.
All right, well, we will be in touch when we get warmed up with this NBA season. Michael, it is always a pleasure. Thank you very much for making time for us today.
Take it easy, guys.
All right, Michael Bradley, El Hombre from the City of Brotherly Love in Philadelphia.
One of my favorite people that we have on from time to time.
Yeah, and every time I have him on, I say, why don't we have him on more often? Yeah. And we should be like monthly, we should have him on. So it's very well thought out, everything. All right. If you want to react to anything we talked about there, you know the number, 239-337-ESPN. Next hour, Pete, we'll have some hot nuggets for these playoff games in the NFL that are getting ready to start, plus Wikipedia around the corner as well.
Got a quiz, too.
We got another, it's a quiz from Pete. So we got a lot to do, a lot of work to do. Don't forget the Bucks start their postseason run Saturday night in Washington. We start our coverage from FedEx Field at 7 o'clock. 8:15 kickoff with Gene Deckerhoff with the call. Buccaneers in Southwest Florida, brought to you by Signs in One Day in Fort Myers off Alico Road, Creel Tractor, My Shower Door, want to see more, and by the Boathouse on Naples Bay. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Check out whatever ridiculous Twitter poll we're running at 99.3 ESPN Radio. Now it's Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN.
I'm Craig Sheeman with Pete Shepard. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN. And the 99.3 ESPN app. What's this mellow ditty?
Pearl Jam.
Oh. Pearl Jam is usually the one you squeeze in here, and I'm like, who's this? And I go, I like that, right? Aren't they the ones? Although, I don't.
Unless it's
a lot of people like Pearl Jam.
I know, but.
I just forget a lot of that. I know everybody knows Jeremy, that song, but.
Oh, this is it.
This is Jeremy?
This is Jeremy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently I didn't.
Well, Craig didn't
Jeremy.
Either.
Jeremy.
So. Huh?
Craig didn't either.
No, I don't know. I mean, I know Pearl Jam. I don't know them, but anyway.
They were one of the most popular bands at one point back in the 90s. No, I know. I'm saying they had a great run.
Yeah.
Good texter name, whoever put that in.
What's that?
Texter coming in, hey, that Michael Bradley guy was awesome, on point.
El Hombre.
It was funny.
Yep.
Yeah,
you should definitely have him on more.
Yeah.
Have him on more, and you named him a Hombre fan.
Yep. The H is silent. Hombre. Spanish.
I said that.
I heard an H.
Hombre.
I heard hombre.
Hombre.
Okay.
Well, it's like it's a soft H, not a hard
Very
H.
soft. Almost silent. All right, we have a minute here, a short segment. I know Pete is itching to get to the latest. Is it a college football quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, we got another quiz. Chris, by the way, I didn't give you a heads up. We're doing a quiz here.
Thank you.
We're going to need some of that quiz music you got stored up there in your bag of tricks.
Gotcha.
Okay.
This is a quiz.
All right, this is an interesting one I think you kids will have fun with.
Okay.
So Alabama OC Steve Sarkisian won the Broyles Award this year, as you know, given annually to the top assistant coach in college football. So can you name the 10 coaches who won the prestigious award from 2010 to 2019?
These are all assistant coaches?
As I said. Okay. Prior to Steve Sarkisian this year, the previous 10 coaches to have been honored with the Broyles Award for the nation's top assistant coach.
Right.
There are no repeaters on this, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
So,
At any time, did Brent Venables win one?
Yes, 2016 with Clemson.
Okay, that's one.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin.
No.
This is a tough one. Just so you know.
Yeah, we're not going to get the years and the guy. We're just going to.
Is Ryan Day on this list?
No, he's not.
Greg Schoening?
One should be fairly obvious.
Obvious.
From last year.
Oh, Brady. Joe Brady.
Joe Brady. Yeah, okay. Good one. So even though he was co-offensive coordinator, passing game coordinator.
Yeah, right.
Says here he won the Broyles Award. Top.
Oh, yeah. He did.
So you have Brady, you have Venables.
Good man, this is a tough one.
You know all these names. You know all these names.
Okay, all right.
At any point, was Hugh Freeze an assistant coach?
No, but you're headed in the right direction.
Okay.
Yeah. These are all.
They're all head coaches now.
Power Five schools.
Okay. Are they all head coaches now, or are they maybe? Well, I mean, I guess not because Brent Venables wasn't. But...
No. So, one is.
Chris, let's start digging into Alabama. You guys are change coordinators every year. There's got to be
somebody.
Well,
that's where I'm starting to go down the list. Let's go Kirby Smart.
Kirby.
No.
Jeremy Pruitt.
No.
Will Muschamp.
No. There's one more from Alabama, though, from 2018.
2018?
Yeah.
Is that Brian Daboll?
I'm not sure where he is now. No, Mike Locksley.
Oh, he's at Maryland.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
Okay. That's three.
So that's three.
I got no clue.
Yeah.
And this is hard.
This is a tough one.
This is hard.
All right. Let's go. All right.
Okay. Let's go Lincoln Riley.
Lincoln Riley is one. 2015 at Oklahoma. Yep.
Okay.
Are any now in the NFL by any chance?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. All right, I'll run it down. I'm going to start from 2010. Okay. Start with 2010. Again, SEC coach. Was a head coach, too.
Was a head coach. He was a coordinator at the time. Is he head coach after or before?
After. After he won this award.
Sylvester Croom. Just going from yesterday.
No. Think recent Auburn.
Gus Malzahn.
Yes.
Gus.
2010. 2011, this one out of LSU. This is a tough one.
Oh, so this would be hold Les on. Dave Aranda.
No. Good guess, though.
But this would be a Les Miles assistant, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Give up? Okay. Yeah. John Chavis.
Wouldn't have got it.
No. Notre Dame in 2012. This is another hop. You remember the name, but it's kind of a tough one. I don't know where he is now, to be honest with you. Bob Diaco.
Complete blank. I never would have got that in a million
2013 years. From Michigan State. And I don't know where this guy is either, but you've heard of him. Absolutely.
Defensive coordinator from Michigan State.
Would have been under Mike D'Antoni. Get my Mike D'Antoni and Mike D'Antonio.
Got nothing.
Nothing.
Pat Narduzzi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 2014 from Ohio State.
Luke Fickell.
No. He recently got fired.
Like how recently?
2 weeks ago.
Oh. Texas guy.
They're not back.
Oh.
Tom Herman. You're right.
Tom Herman.
Yeah. Exactly. 2015, you got Lincoln Riley. 2016, you got Brent Venables. You had Joe Brady. The only one you don't have is 2017 from Clemson.
not Brett Venables.
No. Nope.
Oh, it's the same OC, right? You're still there? And I'm not going to remember his name right now.
I believe Tony Elliott.
Nope. That's not who's still there.
That's it?
Okay.
That was a tough one.
It was hard, it was good.
But you knew most of the names. That's Tom Herman, Ohio State.
More of a list, I think.
No, it was both.
It was a quiz that morphed into a list.
Yeah. Well, that's.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens with our segment, which is, you know.
I just help people.
It's not a criticism. It's just a observation.
Yeah.
All right. I'm losing materials. Don't worry about it. We'll get it later. By the way, so speaking of quizzes, later on, Wikipedia, I figured maybe I could have done this yesterday, but I'll do it today. We will do some Heisman trivia today. Some of these questions, seems like they pop up from time to time, so there might be a repeat question or two from before. But we'll have that at 4:45. When we come back, we'll have all the headlines of the day, and Pete's got the first look hot nuggets of the six NFL playoff games coming up this weekend. So all that and more, 4 o'clock hour, Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.